Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute at homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Supervision: Effective Clinical Relationships with Your Supervisee. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Catherine Appleton, and I'll be the narrator of this CD. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding clinical supervision. As each case study is given, if the concept seems to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn the CD player off and take a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes or, if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education, should you deem appropriate. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to the CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next section in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing trick or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purposes of brevity, most generally, I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD, we will discuss such topics as setting goals, resolving conflicts, dealing with discussion difficulties, ethics, facilitation of therapist-client relationships, the supervisor's avoidance of conflict issues, and empowerment. So let's get started. Do you feel that setting a goal with your supervisee is a way of focusing his or her energy? In encouraging and assisting supervisees in establishing goals, you can help your supervisee in focusing him or herself better and elevating their performance. As you may know, a goal is an event, circumstance, object, or condition a supervisee strives to obtain. On this track, we will examine the four characteristics of effective goal setting with your supervisee. Those are setting specific goals, setting realistically difficult goals, mutual supervisee-supervisor goal agreement, and giving feedback. Number one, setting specific goals. First of all, as you are aware, it is important to set specific goals with your supervisee. A goal such as improve performance is too general to produce results. Do you agree? You might consider asking yourself, what does my supervisee need to work on to improve? In what areas is my supervisee lacking? Is he or she lacking in the area of client empathy? Does my supervisee understand our agency and state confidentiality requirements and laws? And finally, how can I set goals that will be effective and target the specific areas that need work? Consider turning the CD player off and asking yourself, what other questions can I think of to ask about my supervisee and how to improve his or her performance? Also, it goes without saying that it's important to set an actual time frame for accomplishing these goals. This, of course, works well with objective tasks like dictating client progress notes in a timely manner. A set amount of time, in this case, adds extra motivation to achieve this goal reasonably quickly. For less tangible goals like increasing self-awareness of client-therapist countertransference issues, time frames might be more long-term. Thus, you might consider setting goals for different time periods, different goals of varying difficulties, as in the case of client-therapist countertransference, will also vary in the amount of time it will take to accomplish them. Do you agree? You might try setting daily goals, short-term goals, to be accomplished between your hourly individual training sessions, medium-term goals perhaps with a time frame of 30 days, and long-term goals perhaps with a time frame of several months. In your manual, there is a form to facilitate your thought process regarding the establishment of these goals. Secondly, consider formulating realistically difficult goals. This could be tricky. Do you agree? First, you might consider how to stretch your supervisee's capabilities. If goals are not challenging enough for him or her, there is no way that the supervisee can stretch his or her skills, and there's no improvement. On the other hand, goals that are too difficult or constraining can frustrate your supervisee. This is where the knowledge of your supervisee comes into play. It is not only vital to be aware of the potential of your supervisee, but also to understand and acknowledge his or her limitations. Essentially, some supervisors think of it as bringing their supervisee as close to the edge as possible while not simultaneously pushing them over into frustration or a major stress point. Consider turning your CD player off and think about your supervisee. Do you know where he or she is right now? What is their skill level? Where does he or she need to grow? If they are new to your agency, is it an area of knowledge related to community resources? If they are into resistance to change from a therapeutic style not compatible with the philosophy of your agency, are they into discomfort dodging, feelings of entitlement, or unwillingness to compromise? Number 3, cooperation in setting goals. Thirdly, in addition to setting specific and realistically difficult goals, be sure that the supervisee you are trying to challenge accepts your goals. When a supervisee is on board, so to speak, with your objectives, he or she can easily motivate themselves to accomplish these goals. When you merely impose tasks on a supervisee, he or she might begin to feel constrained and, well, possibly feel reluctant to work cooperatively. For instance, scheduling sessions with your supervisee is an important goal to work out with him or her. If the supervisee feels that he or she is competent enough to do their work with only one supervision session per week, you might disagree. Perhaps you feel it necessary to meet at the minimum of 3 times a week. This goal of supervision sessions must also be discussed in reference to just how you, as a supervisor, feel most comfortable in observing your supervisee. One supervisor wanted to observe his supervisee through videotaping, noting the supervisee's empathetic facial expressions. The supervisee, however, felt uncomfortable with that much observation. Instead of forcing the therapist to accept the videotape, the supervisor compromised with audio taping instead of videotaping. To avoid an uncooperative supervisee situation, I feel it extremely important to discuss these goals with your supervisee prior to creating them. I also feel that supervisors and supervisees should have a coaching or mentoring relationship, which we'll explain in a later track. Number 4, give feedback. In addition to setting specific and realistically difficult goals and mutual supervisee-supervisor goal agreement, a fourth characteristic of, I feel, successful supervisee goal setting is, of course, giving feedback. This is quite obviously a correcting tool as well as a motivating tool. As you know, it's beneficial to give your supervisee an update on how their development is proceeding. This is a good opportunity to set additional daily short-term, medium, or long-term goals during your supervision session. Also, to state the obvious, when a supervisee is steadily progressing, it's a good idea to let him know you are pleased with their growth. Acknowledgement, especially from a supervisor, will inspire your supervisee to continue their performance. This should go without saying, but we all get busy and it's easy to overlook the obvious. Encouragement will be dealt with in the empowerment section of this CD. On this track, we've discussed the four characteristics of effective goal setting: setting specific goals, setting realistically difficult goals, mutual supervisee-supervisor goal agreement, and giving feedback. On the next track, we will propose a new method of resolving conflicts. We'll talk about observation, thoughts, feedback, desires, and setting the next time. Question 1. What are the 5 characteristics of effective goal setting with your supervisee?